Good morning. Take this off. Did you all recognize the tune on the carillons? Anyone? Sandra, you did? Anybody else? Did you recognize it? You did? What was it, Pat? Johnny Appleseed. We are celebrating Johnny Appleseed today. And that song was from the Disney short about Johnny Appleseed, and it's called The Lord is Good to Me. So I'm going to just, for your meditation, to prepare for worship, I'm just going to tell you the words to that song. Some of you might remember it from, somebody told me earlier that they learned it in Girl Scouts. They would sing it as a grace. That's where I learned it. Not Girl Scouts. But as grace for Vacation Bible School. Right. So it's, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. So I leave you with that for a few moments. Wish you the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. We have a couple of announcements today. As most of you seem to know, because you all acknowledged it when you came in, thank you. Today is my birthday, and I am having an open house this afternoon at the Parsonage in Roner Park from about 3 to 4. I mean, if you come at 4:01, I'm not going to chase you away, but you know, try to keep it within that hour. So you're all welcome. If you need the address, see me afterwards. And I don't want to announce it for the podcast. People showing up. So that's this afternoon, about 3 to 4. Next week, we are having a Blessing of the Animals service here. So during the worship service, I have some liturgy included that will include blessings for animals. So if you want to bring pictures of your dogs or your cats or your dodo birds, to honor them and express your blessing for them, and we'll do some kind of a blessing in the liturgy, you can do that. At 2 o'clock on Sunday, I will be out on the lawn out front, and I'll be doing blessings of animals, so it's kind of an outreach, right? I think there's going to be an ad in the paper, right? Yeah. There'll be an ad in the paper, and I made some flyers, so I'll ask Olivette to send them out. So if you want to print them out and share them with your friends or anyone who might appreciate that. So that'll be next Sunday at 3 o'clock. 2 o'clock, sorry, 3 o'clock today, 2 o'clock next week. Thank you. 3 o'clock today, 2 o'clock next week. Thank you. That's all I have. Any other announcements? No? Okay, let's proceed. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Please join me for the call to worship and stand if you can. Everything is held in the memory of God. Our childhoods, our dearest connections, our deepest pain. Everything is held in the love of God, that which feels broken beyond repair, that which is healing, the hardest earned and gritty flourishing. Everyone is held in the great web of connection. Our thriving is bound up in one another's. Let us gather in the spirit of independence.
Our opening hymn is Stand By Me. Please be seated. We have an opportunity when we come here every week to remind ourselves that God is always with us. Sometimes it's easy to forget that during the week, and we do things that maybe make us feel even more separated. And so we have the opportunity to reestablish and remember that connection that God is always with us. Let's join together in our prayer of confession.
Good morning. Creating and rescuing God, your power amazes us. Yet, in our amazement, we take too long to turn to you, forgetting that you are the power that makes and saves and sustains us. Even when we claim your power, we often do so for our own success and comfort, ignoring your command to us, your power on behalf of the weak, the small, and the vulnerable. In Jesus Christ, you show us that you are on the side of all people, but never at the expense of the weakest among us. Forgive us when we try to hoard you for ourselves and to take control who has access to your love. Forgive us when our greed, our control, and our scandals keep us from knowing you. Redeem us and transform us, O God, Open our hearts, our lives, and our ministries so that we may become a doorway to your realm. Amen.
I'm going to invite you to a few moments of silence to consider your own personal confessions. Beloveds, hear this good news. God turns our sorrow into gladness and our times of mourning into celebration. God hears the prayer of faith. Be confident as we pray for one another, for God heals us and forgives us. And the beloved community says, Amen.
Today's scripture is Psalms 124. I'm going to read in bigger print. If it had been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say now. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attack us, then we would have swallowed up us alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth.
Thank you. So when I was in junior high school, this book came out. It was called The Birthday Book or something like that. And one of the things that you could look, you know, each page was a date of the year, and it would give you information like important things that happened on that day and famous people who were born on that day. So my friends and I used to love to look and see, you know, who shared the same birthday as us, you know, if it was somebody cool or somebody, you know, kind of lame. I always felt like mine was kind of lame because I was in junior high school. Now I recognize who these people are, and I'm a little more impressed. But as a junior high schooler, I didn't know who T.S. Eliot was. I didn't know who George Gershwin was. Who I did know, I knew who Olivia Newton-John was. And I knew who Jack LaLanne was. And Johnny Appleseed. So Johnny Appleseed, all I knew of Johnny Appleseed, I wasn't impressed in junior high with Johnny Appleseed because all you know is like the folk legends that you hear. I was like, so some guy planted apple trees around? Well, hooray. But as I got a little older and I'd start to do a little research and learn a little more about Johnny Appleseed, incredibly, incredibly interesting and powerful story. So he was born in Massachusetts in the 1700s. He was the oldest of 11 brothers and sisters. And he, when he became of age to go out and work for himself, he became a nurseryman, planting apple trees. But, you know, planting apple trees was not just, it's not like you carry a big bag of seeds and just like throw seeds and that's how apple trees grow. That's not how it worked. You know that, right? Maybe you don't know that. I didn't know that. He was buying plots of land, acres at a time, and then he would go out with these saplings and plant each one individually. And he did this out into Ohio and Indiana and down into parts of West Virginia and even up into Ontario, Canada. But when I was a kid, they said all over. I assumed he had been all the way out to California and all over the country. But that was the frontier back then. Yeah. Right. So that's what he did. And then he would, you know, he would plant these things and He would plant these trees and then he would go to other plots and he would check on the ones that he had planted last year. And that's how he lived his life. It was very poor, but he continued to buy more and more plots, and he would plant these apple trees. In addition to planting apple trees, he was planting the seeds of the gospel. Johnny Appleseed was a devout Swedenborgian. Do you know what a Swedenborgian is? So, you know what a Swedenborgian is? You are one. Wow. A real live Swedenborgian. Emanuel Swedenborg was a genius, I would say. He was an inventor, a scientist. He was deeply involved in everything that was going on at the time when he was born, also the 1700s. He was a contemporary of John Wesley. Remember John Wesley? So he actually, there's a connection between John Wesley and Emanuel Swedenborg. Did you know this? So Wesley did a lot of reading in Swedenborg and expressed an interest in meeting him. So he wrote a letter to Swedenborg and said, I would like to come and meet you. I think Swedenborg was in Amsterdam at the time. So he wrote him a letter and said, I would like to come meet you. I'm thinking I'll be there, you know, whatever date, September 26th, let's say. I don't think it was September 26th. But I'll come visit you on this date, signed John Wesley. Swedenborg writes back, don't come, I'll be dead by then. And he was. But by the date that Wesley said he would be there, Swedenborg had died. He was in his 80s. Not that that's okay, but you know. But he knew the date that he was. So after this long history of Swedenborg's, of being deeply involved in inventions and scientific discoveries and experiments and writing, he goes on a trip. He keeps a diary of his dreams. And there are all these, you know, deeply mystical dreams. And he has this mystic experience. He's about 53 years old now. And he's in an inn, you know, inns were like taverns, right? So there's a restaurant downstairs, and he had a room upstairs. And he's down there in a private room, eating his meal. Suddenly he feels the room go dark, and there's someone sitting in the corner. Do you know this? And this person says, stop eating so much. So Swedenborg is shaken, and he goes back up to his room, and this presence entity appears again and introduces himself as the Lord. And Emanuel Swedenborg is, according to this vision, given the new revelation to share with the world. And so Swedenborg devotes the rest of his life to writing on spirituality and mysticism. He has visions and dreams, and he has conversations with angels and demons. He visits other planets, all in these mystical visions. And today, there is a denomination called Swedenborgianism. Swedenborgian, there's a church in San Francisco. There's a couple over in the East Bay. And this is a Protestant Christian denomination looking through the visions of Emanuel Swedenborg. So Johnny Appleseed was a devout Swedenborgian, and while he was out in the frontier of Ohio, while he was planting these trees, he would stay with different people, and he would bring them religious tracts and share this good news and tell stories, and that's how he kind of earned his keep. When he died at the age of 70-something, his estate totaled like 15,000. Many, many acres. He owned many acres. But he lived a life of like abject poverty. You know, when you see images of Johnny Appleseed, if you're inclined to go to Google and do image searches for Johnny Appleseed, like I did, he's always depicted, right, the tin can, pot on his head, yes, right? And pretty much rags. He could not see dressing in, you know, fine clothes when someone else was unable to. He was deeply ecologically attuned. He cared for animals. There's a story that he was out one winter, and he was going to build a fire at the end of a log and sleep inside this hollow log. But when he looked inside, there was a bear and her cubs already inside. So he built his fire on the other side of the log, and slept out in the snow so that he didn't disturb the bear and her cubs. Apparently, at one point, he mended a broken leg on a wolf's broken leg, and that wolf followed him around and stayed with him for the rest of the wolf's life. I imagine he outlived the wolf. So this is hardcore devotion to a cause. And it is not the image that we get in the folklores that we're told as kids. Don't you think, Marilyn? Right? Marilyn was telling me she was a kindergarten teacher. She used to tell the story of Johnny Appleseed. It's vastly different, the story that we tell the kids and what his real life was. The song that Marilyn played on the Carillons, The Lord is Good to Me, that's from the Walt Disney short about Johnny Appleseed. If you go and watch that video on YouTube, like I did, I'm fully aware that this is a child's cartoon. But the image of Johnny Appleseed is very, he's got that Disney big chubby cheeks and the big eyes, and he's scrambling up trees like a child, and he's picking the apples, and he's juggling with them, and he's catching them in baskets. It's a very kind of infantile view. The real Johnny Appleseed has been diminished by the folklore that is presented around him. The voice of Johnny Appleseed in this short is a high tenor, almost feminine, I would say. And I think that's another conscious or unconscious diminishment of Johnny Appleseed. I think on some level it is conscious. And we see it happen over and over again. Dorothy Day, do you know who Dorothy Day was? Dorothy Day, she was the founder of the Catholic Workers Movement. Deeply spiritual, deeply Catholic, ingrained with her Catholic sensibility and spirituality, through which her view of the world, she had a refracted view of the world through this Catholic spirituality that led her to a communist outlook. So everything in shared socialist-communist idea of the way the world should be. And she practiced it by starting this Catholic workers' movement, houses for people who needed them, and they could come and live there. At one point, somebody in an interview said to her, you're a saint, Dorothy. And she said, don't call me that. Don't call me a saint. I don't want to be disregarded so easily. Because that's what we do. You make somebody a saint, and then you put them on this shelf up here where we can look at them and adore them, but you're free from having to be like them because they're up there, they're elevated, but they're also degraded, right? They're separated from us, so they're not like us, and we're free and safe from having to be like them. I think that's what happens with Johnny Appleseed. You hear about Johnny Appleseed planting apple seeds, singing in his high little voice, "Oh, the Lord is good to me." Then you think, well, that's a sweet little image, but that's not real, right? It's other. St. Francis of Assisi is another one. We'll talk a little bit more about him next week, probably. Blessing of the animals, you have to. But, he was a hardcore Christian, gave up the wealth that he was born into so that he could pursue his spiritual vision. And today, he's reduced to bird baths in the garden. Communion, the sacred act of communion. Traditionally, we do communion once a month. That's a common thing, the first Sunday of the month. That was because when the Methodism was spreading out into the frontier, Ohio and beyond, they didn't have a lot of ordained ministers who could preside over the sacrament of communion. So they had these circuit riders who could only get to all these places like once a month. That's how we fall into this tradition of communion once a month. Years ago, I was a member at a church and a new pastor came in, and one of the first things she wanted to do was start doing communion every week. And there was an uproar. Maybe not an uproar, but a couple people were not happy. And one woman said, well, if you do it every week, then it's not special anymore. But that the specialness of communion is that you do it every time and you celebrate that good news because it's a radical act, this act of communion. Jesus going and sharing meals with these poor people, with these sinners, was a radical act. By not doing it every week and saving it for once a month, you turn it into one of those special little things we put on the shelf and we only take it out at special times and it loses. We elevate, but we diminish. Jesus, same thing. We all have this image of you know, nice Jesus going around and loving people. Jesus was busting into the temple and turning over the tables. Jesus was talking to the people who the religious authority said we were supposed to talk to. They're dirty, unclean, don't talk to them. Jesus was an iconoclast and broke all of that. Society works very hard to diminish those people who stood up against societies. Johnny Appleseed, St. Francis, Dorothy Day, Jesus, and communion. So it happens all the time, and it is still happening in the church today. So I challenge you, beloveds, as you go out into the world this week, how are you challenging these ideas that are preventing us from sharing this free love that God has for all of us? Towards people of color, towards the homeless, the LGBTQ community, women. Sandra, have you experienced any kind of diminishment in the United Methodist Church in your career as a pastor? Oh, yes, I'm sure. Pat, in human resources, in the corporate world, as a woman, have you ever felt diminished? Got a little less pay than the men who were in the same field? Yeah, absolutely. The radical message of the gospel is that God loves everyone equally and everyone is welcome to the table, the communion table, every time, all the time. And the world has a very alternate image of that, and it is for us to keep spreading that love out in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Good and gracious God, thank you for this time to come together to share those things that are on our hearts, those joys, sorrows, gratitudes, requests for help, for healing. We know that you are always with us, and it's so easy to forget sometimes, so we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and to offer these prayers that not merely as efforts to lay them at your feet so that you take care of them, but so that we can share them here in this beloved community and be there for each other in our times of need and in our times of bounty. We lift up these prayers and all prayers in the name of our brother Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
God of light, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as you, the scriptures are read and your words proclaimed, we may hear the joy that you have given, say to us. Amen. I think that was supposed to be earlier. This is the invitation for the offering. Jesus Christ is on our side, offering us the love of God, a love that gives us all we have, a love that makes us all we are. Jesus Christ is with us in every circumstance, suffering with us when we are in trouble, and rejoicing with us when we are glad. The generosity of Jesus calls us to lives of gratitude and generosity. In Jesus Christ, we are given new life. Let us celebrate this life by giving generously to the work of God's redeeming love.
If you have offerings or tithes to offer, you can place them in the basket here or in the back. If you are listening to this podcast, this recording on a podcast, and would like to help in the work that Petaluma United Methodist Church does, you can make your donations and tithes by sending in a check to the church at 410 D Street in Petaluma, California. Or, if you prefer, you can go to our website, petalumaumc.org, and the little fairies inside of the computer will guide your offerings to help us and assist us in the work of spreading God's love. And now, to encourage and inspire your generosity, Marilyn will play something beautiful for us. Giving God, we can never match your generosity. When we are in need, you are at our side. Present to us even in our darkest moments. You rescue us from harm. Make us into people who celebrate your goodness, drawing others into the celebration of your many blessings. Receive our offerings, even if they are small, as a drink for someone who thirsts. Transform them into the mystery of your reign here and now on earth, in the name of Jesus, your greatest gift. And the beloved community says, Amen. Our closing hymn is His Eye is on the Sparrow. And so, beloveds, as you go out into the world this week, labor to bring forth new life. Dream dreams. Pursue visions. Speak of God's goodness in the words of those who would hear. And may the God who breathed life into creation be your delight. May Jesus Christ give hope to your dreaming. And may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. Go and serve our God.